Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
This morning's scripture comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. For I do not want for you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that was accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry.
If you will, please mark your Bibles in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll reread a section of that in just a moment, and then turn back and mark the book of Exodus chapter 24. One other passage, if you just have something to mark with, mark the book of Exodus, chapter 32. And with those sections marked, you're set for our study of this particular sermon. Sometimes I call this sermon mountaintop religion. And I might tell you in passing that it's the first of a series of sermons. And that's supposed to give you a little warning. When you have a series of sermons, you can sometimes try to put them all in one sermon. That means you have to listen a long time. But I'm not going to preach that long. Don't worry about it. But there's a contrast in this section. And what I really want to do is at least set up the contrast to cause you to start thinking about who our God is and what He does. We've been led in that in our singing and in our prayers this morning, which I've appreciated. And I appreciate the introduction from Brother Jack Malone. I'm indebted to that family for a number of reasons. I think all of our teachers, Mary Alice, help us raise our children, and that's not to be taken lightly, so I'm very thankful for you. The way I'm going to approach this is read and then set up this contrast, and once we've gotten the contrast set up and understood, I have 3 points of practical application. And that will be our sermon for this morning. Let's read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And these things are our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. That section is in a section in 1 Corinthians chapters 8 through 11, where Paul warned the Corinthian church against idolatry and against eating meat that had been sacrificed to idols. That's the section in 1 Corinthians, eating meat sacrificed to idols. And just a few points from chapter 10 before we go back searching for the contrast. I think a good starting point is to recognize that when he talks about Israel, he says that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and they all drank the same spiritual drink. So let me just mention at the outset that all is important. All, five times, all. But there's a mini contrast there, because all our fathers all passed through, all got baptized, all ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Can I just tell you at the outset that it doesn't make any difference how many people are pleased if God is not pleased. All, five times, all but God. With many of them, God was not well pleased. They were overthrown in the wilderness, and these things became our examples. Twice in that section he says, what happened to Israel is exemplary for us. They're our examples. And there's one particular example mentioned in chapter 10, verse number 6. Now these things are our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now that raises a very interesting question. Where did the people sit down to eat and drink and rise up to play? I want us to go searching for that. It's going to take us a minute to get there. Still, I want us to go find this place where people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And when we find that place, we'll be getting set for this contrast and for the practical lessons from this sermon. All right. To get there, though, I want us to go all the way back to Exodus 24. You mark Exodus 24 at the beginning. And I'm reading at verse number 12. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me into the mount and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. Moses went up, and his minister Joshua. Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, Tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you, and behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon the Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud, and the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount, and Moses said, I was in the mount 40 days. And 40 nights. I started there because I wanted you to see that God called Moses up into the mountain top and told Moses, I've got something to give you. If you'll come up into the mountain, I'll give you tablets of stone, a law and commandments that I have written. Don't forget. I have written these. I will give them to you, and I want you to teach them to the Israelites. And while Moses was up there, Moses got some other instructions. Chapter 25, verse 1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take of them, gold and silver and brass and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen and goat's hair and ram skins dyed red and badger skins, shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. Moses has been called up into the mountaintop. He's getting instructions from God, written instructions, and then instructions about how to make a sanctuary so God can dwell among his people. And I'm not going to read all of it. You read the rest of it when you get home, but here's a summary. Make a tabernacle, a courtyard, holy place, most holy place, separated by veil. Add in that courtyard, that tabernacle that always faces the east, I want you to put a burnt altar to offer sacrifices. I want you to put a laver where the priests wash before they go into the holy place. In that holy place, there's a table of showbread, a candlestick that always burns, and an altar of incense. The veil behind that curtain, there's a mercy seat that sits on top of the Ark of the Covenant of God. Make that sanctuary, and that's how I'm going to dwell among you if you keep these commandments that I've given you and written for you. So, an important part of the contrast is that God called Moses to the mountaintop. And Moses is listening to God. And a part of the problem is in Exodus chapter 32, you're marked there. Now, I'll shorten Exodus for you for just a moment, if you'll pay really close attention. 25 to 31 of the book of Exodus, these instructions from God. And then 32 to 34, there's a break. And 35 through the end of the book is where they actually do the instructions that were given in 25 to 31. 25 to 31, make this tabernacle. 35 to 40, we're actually doing what he told us to do. Locked between those chapters of instructions and doing, there's a little sandwich that you've got to eat some kind of way. Moses is up in the mountaintop. Down at the foot of the mountain, verse number 32, the people saw, chapter 32, the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount. The people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in your ears of your wives, your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them to me. And all the people break off the golden earrings that were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand, fashioned it with a graving tool, don't forget. After he had made it a molten calf, and they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. And then there's our text. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. And that's the verse that Paul remembered when he wanted to remind the Corinthian Christians about idolatry. Moses is up in the mountaintop getting instructions from God. The children of Israel are at the foot of the mountain making a golden calf. We don't know where Moses is. He's been up there quite a while, but we need a God that we can see. So they brought their earrings. Aaron fashioned that with a graving tool, made a golden calf, and the children of Israel went to worship a golden calf. Now read the rest of that when you get home too, because it's quite interesting. But God said to Moses, you've got to go down. The people that you brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. Moses said, they're not my people. I didn't bring them up. They're your people. You're the one who told me to bring them up. And they had this argument, and God finally said, I'll tell you what, you get out of the way, and I'll destroy every one of them. Moses said, wait a minute. Please don't destroy them. The heathen will say you brought them out into the wilderness and you couldn't get them to the promised land. Remember the promise that you made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God said, I repent. I think you ought to underline it. I'm coming back to it in just a little while. Verse number 14, the Lord repented of the evil that he had thought to do to his people. And Moses went back, and as he approached the camp, Joshua said, it sounds like a war. Moses said, that's not a war. It's singing that I hear. And as they approached the camp, they heard shouting and dancing. And he saw the golden calf. And that disturbed Moses' soul that he took that thing and broke it into pieces and ground it into dust and made the children of Israel drink it. And then three times in that chapter, he says, you've sinned a great sin. Verse number 21, Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And then a little later in the chapter, tomorrow Moses said unto the people, you've sinned a great sin. And then he confessed to the Lord, O Lord, this people have sinned a great sin. And therein you have what I think is a very interesting contrast. Moses at the mountaintop getting instructions from God. The children of Israel at the foot of the mountain making a golden calf. And that's where I want us to stop and think. And then I want us to remember three important lessons from the golden calf story. I think there's an interesting contrast between what you can do at the mountaintop, a lot of difference in going to the mountaintop, listening to the God who made you, and going to the foot of the mountain where you get to make the God. Let me tell you that again. A lot of difference in how you worship and serve the God of the mountaintop, the God who made you, and in going to the foot of the mountain where you can make a God. At the mountaintop, you've got to listen. Important instructions from God who knows you, who made you. At the foot of the mountain, you can do all the talk. You can be full of pride. You can talk the way you want to talk. You can say, this is what we ought to do. I know what we ought to do. I think I know. And a lot of difference in talking at the foot and going to the top where you have to listen. There are all kinds of things about that God that we learn when we talk about the God of the mountain top. Let me do three fairly quickly, and you'll have this message for this morning. Here's the first one. I want you to think about that God of the mountain. I was still a boy at Oklahoma Christian College, and there was a joke circulating that probably circulated around here too. The joke question was, where does a 4,000 pound gorilla sleep? And the answer you already know. Any way he pleases. Then you ask this question. How do you worship God at the foot of the mountain? All right, here's your answer. Any kind of way you please. Because if you can make the God at the foot of the mountain, you can worship that God any kind of way you please. I mean, if I could make the God, I would make the God worship me. I would be bigger than the God. At the foot of the mountain, you can jump, you can shout, you can dance, you can give all of the commandments, you can tell the God at the foot of the mountain how to worship and how you are going to worship him. It's just a golden calf. You made it so you can tell it what you're going to do. After all, when you tell him, he doesn't hear you anyhow. It's a little different at the mountaintop. If you raise another question, how do you worship the God of the mountaintop? Here's your answer. Our God speaks. I know he does a lot of other things too. I'm going to talk about those, but it's just a way to help us remember. Our God speaks. I mean, he can call Moses up into the mountaintop. He can talk. Our God can write. Our God has a mind. He can actually change his mind. Our God repented. Our God cares. Our God loves. As a matter of fact, we're studying Isaiah tomorrow. When Isaiah wants to talk about God, he talks about God in comparison to foot of the mountain gods. And he says, let your God speak. If your God will say something, at least we'll know he's a God. Let him speak. But if your God never speaks, I'm going to keep calling it a rock. It's a tree. And if your God speaks, I want him to predict. That shows our God off. Isaiah, let your God speak, then let him predict. And if your God predicts, my God will bring your God's prediction to naught. I want to see your God stop my God's predictions. Our God speaks. Our God predicts. And then Isaiah says, and then there's a little something about what you do at the foot of the mountain that doesn't make really good sense. You'll take a tree, Isaiah 44, you'll take a tree that you can't grow. God has to grow it. Then you'll cut it down, use a part of the tree to make a fire and make heat with it. Get warm. You'll take another part of the tree and cut it down and make a fire and cook food with it and eat. And then you'll take the trunk of the tree and make a god. Something about it doesn't make sense. My God grows the tree. My God shines sun on it, rains on it, makes it grow. You cut it down and make a god out of the creation. All the way in the New Testament, Paul says, Mars Hill, let me tell you about this God. Our God is a living God. He cares. He knows. So you shouldn't think of God as some kind of inanimate object. And here's a reason. Because you're his offspring. If you're the offspring of God, and you're living, you ought to think of a God who is living. A dead God can't produce living offspring. Our God is alive. He's well. He's a real God. He hears us. He knows us. And he responds to his creation. How do you worship the God at the mountaintop? Our God speaks. And then here's a little teaching. He says, as he teaches them to make the tabernacle, he says more than once, make everything according to the pattern. Make it all according to a pattern. And you get to wondering, where did that pattern come from? I mean, a pattern of what? And way over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse number 13. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. I mean, it's not what I'm after. Hebrews chapter 9, that's what I'm really after. Verse number 22, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. This is what I'm after. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. That these patterns that show up through Scripture are actually patterns of some kind of true in heaven. That the figures are figures of the true. And I think that's so important for us to understand these figures of the true in heaven. Let me try to make you see that, and then I'll try to hasten this to a close. You see, if you build the tabernacle in Moses' day, you might not think about the future. Make everything according to a pattern. Here we are in Moses' day, but God is looking down at David's day. And all those years later, David built a temple. It's on the same order as that tabernacle. Make it according to a pattern. There's a real pattern somewhere. And you know, when David built the temple, he has a promise from God, but I doubt that he thought a whole lot about how the temple was really running a pattern for the church. And way down in New Testament, that courtyard is the world. The laver where the Christians, the priests wash before they enter into the holy place, which is the church, the altar of burnt offering, the cross of Christ. Then you're washed and you enter into the holy place where there's a candlestick that represents the Word of God, table of showbread that represents the Lord's Supper table, an altar of incense, the prayers of the saints. And one of these days you cross that veil into the mercy and presence of God, where you will dwell forever. But even that's probably a figure. What I want you to appreciate, though, in that second point is that when you make all things according to the pattern, there's probably a purpose. Sometimes people say, "Brother Ed, why do you think we ought to keep singing and praying and worshiping according to the Word of God?" And my answer would be, there's probably a pattern going on. You say, "Well, I don't always understand it." I'd say, you wouldn't have to always understand it. You've got to follow by faith. I doubt Moses understood completely that he was doing something that would lead to a temple. I know David didn't understand that he was doing something that would lead to the church. And what I'm telling you is that there's a real somewhere on the other side. So where does that leave us as people in 2019? I'd say it leaves us seeking a God who cares for us. You say, well, how do we seek it? We're looking for what he wants. We're looking for what God wants from his people. We're looking for how to please him in our daily lives. Where do you start? Well, God delivered these people. He delivered them, and Paul's understanding, they were all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Occasionally, I'm still asked, do you still preach that a person needs to be baptized? And I tell them I absolutely preach that because I believe it. Let me show you. God decided to deliver the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. And he told them to take a lamb without blemish, kill it over in the evening, And at night, I'm going to pass through. And when I pass through, I'm going to look for blood on the doorpost. And you know that story. And God passed through that night, and where there was no blood, somebody in that family died. But when he saw blood, he passed over them. Pharaoh got up in the middle of the night and told the Israelites, get out. He had been fighting them, fighting God, but now he says, get out. All of you, get out. The blood has been shed, but are they free to go to the promised land? Not yet. Because standing between them and the promised land, a Red Sea of water. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. He stretched out his rod. God took an east wind, blew the Red Sea open. His people crossed over on dry ground. That's what Paul is talking about. They were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. The blood shed, we passed through the water, now free to go on to the promised land. And God said, I don't want you to ever forget that. Don't forget how I brought you up out of the land of Egypt. That's what makes it such a great sin, to violate this great God. Don't forget how I brought you up out of the promised land, taking you to the promised land. Don't forget that. And I want you to always observe a Jewish Passover feast. And for all those years, they observed Passover. They didn't always do it right, but they did Passover through the years, according to rules. You don't ever break the bone of the Passover lamb. You take a male without blemish. You kill it over in the evening, but you don't break the bones of the Passover lamb. Do you know, I just don't think it's accidental that way down the road, during a Jewish Passover feast, another Passover lamb was slain. When John the Baptist saw him, John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. They hung Jesus on the cross, came to him to break his bones, but he was already dead. That's not accidental. You never break the bones of the Passover lamb. So they pierced him in the side. And forthwith came blood and water. The same elements that delivered the children of Israel from Egyptian bondage. Blood and water can deliver you from the bondage of sin today. That Christ's blood has been shed. That if you're buried with Christ in baptism, resurrected to walk a new life in Christ, your sins are washed away, your sins are forgiven, you can live a new life in Christ Jesus. And then your challenge, you go through life acknowledging Him every day. I mean, you go through, and whatever you do, don't turn from that God that brought you up out of your sins, from that God who died for you that you might live. If you ever turn from Him, you'll sin a great sin. Where does that leave us this morning? It leaves us kind of here. Some of you have never named the name of Christ. You need to be buried with Christ in baptism, resurrected to walk a new life in Christ Jesus. Some of you have been baptized into Christ, but you haven't been faithful, and you ought to come home. And some of you have been baptized into Christ, and you've understood everything I said, and you're trying to live for Him. If that's your case, I want you to stand with us and sing with us and pray with us as we encourage every person in this room who needs to make a right response to Jesus, as we stand together to sing our song of encouragement.